Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Community Garden Revolution. My name is Mary Huckel, and we're so glad you're here for the show. And we wanted to tell you some great news. Evidently, grocery stores are finally seeing sales soar on produce, and of course, the fruits that there are out there too. So fruits and vegetables, they're making money hand over fist in the billions, and they also are making money on organic foods. Now, I don't know anything much about organic foods. We don't eat the bananas. We've tried those, and as soon as we bring them home, they turn bad. So we're not good with that kind of stuff, but some people love it. I mean, love organic fruits and vegetables. We're just we don't know much of anything. And anyway, that's good news because now people are wanting to eat more healthy. And beforehand, people really weren't into that. So now they see because of medical cost that if you go ahead and eat your fruits and vegetables and do it religiously, you're going to find that you're going to be more healthy. When you catch something or go through a bug or a virus or whatever, you can get past it a lot faster. I always got ticked off years ago when I caught the flu. I haven't had the flu since the 90s, believe it or not, late 90s, mid to late 90s, but for sure late 90s. I always was ticked off because it cost me money. It cost me money to go to the doctor. It took off time to get well. Then you got wobbly as you were trying to get better. I always got ticked off. So we take the attitude now that we don't do certain things past a certain date in the holiday season, and we find out that we're far better off doing it that way. You hate to be that way toward people, and they don't quite understand it. I mean, I've been invited to do things, and I say, no, we just don't get around people then. And I've had doctors didn't like it. But I found that if I stayed away from the doctor's offices in the month of December, we're far better off healthy-wise. We already eat our fruits and vegetables. We already like them, when we go to the store to figure out what we want or need to eat. And we even play around with it and add some different things to it, some nuts, or sometimes they even add some chocolate chips in it to kind of get some more sugar, dress it up a little bit. And, change around and maybe of one fruit or maybe two fruits or maybe three fruits in a cup. So I like fruit cups myself. And then we, of course, have it with our vegetables. We will make sure that we're eating some good vegetables to help us with what issues we've got. And we also like to make sure we have plenty of nuts that are round, not the two-legged ones, but the nuts that you get, like cashews, pistachios every so often, walnuts, pecans. We try to change it around so that we have a healthy diet of nuts also. But our main thing is the fruits and vegetables. So evidently the grocery stores are seeing big dividends on changing around their sections. So, I will tell you before we go into the article that I saw on this, at Walmart, they've got just a few books left. It's called Fruit or Vegetable, and it's for kids. And it says ages for 8 to 11. I don't know if it's that age for sure or if it's for smaller kids. But it's called Fruit or Vegetable. And so that might be something you can look up online and see if they got a book that you can give for your grandkids or for your own kids or for a daycare or church, who knows. So you might want to look that up. It looks like an interesting book. Okay, so we're going to be right back. You're listening to Community Garden Revolution, and my name is Mary Huckel. And we're going to go over that little news article about the Kroger and Walmart sales that are soaring on produce. Hate to be an I told you so person, but I told you so. Okay, and then we're also going to go into the part of the Old Farmer's Almanac, having a gardening club. Yeah, gardening club. So I'm seeing if we can incorporate somehow something about community gardens, if they allow us, or community gardening or something, in the articles or something. Hey, why not? And I've also asked the Harris Almanac folks if they would do that too, the Harris Farmer's Almanac. So we'll see. You never know. All right, we'll be right back. You're listening to Community Garden Revolution, and my name is Mary Huckel, and it's a great holiday season. I was starting to play those darn bells again, but here's what you're wanting to listen to. welcome back to Community Garden Revolution. My name is Mary Huckel, and I'm sitting here. We're going to get rain today and tomorrow, and the people above us, because we just talked to some folks there in Wisconsin today, and they have got a lot of rain going on, and they realize that they could get blizzard conditions coming. They're very excited. Not. So we do say our prayers for the folks that could be affected by the coming storm. It's going to be an interesting winter, I feel, so just buckle up and have some supplies around. That's what we're working on, and make sure we have supplies around, and make sure that you keep healthy as best you can. So for sure, eat those fruits and vegetables. I kid you not, vegetables, the fruits and vegetables. And do eat those at a good little pace. It doesn't mean you have to eat them all the time. Sometimes we have meals without something, but we at least feel that we eat healthy enough. And it does help us with our health. It does help us if we catch something. And for the last two winters, because the weather's been up and down, for us here in the Midwest, we haven't caught as many issues as other folks maybe have. I think the conditions of the weather have been helping us. We like the idea of it being warmer. You know, we try to always toy around the idea of going to Florida X amount of time or whatever. But so we're just waiting to see what we do. But for us, health-wise, we like it that we don't catch some of these bugs, or the flu has been tough, has been a different strain this year. And I read that last year that was coming, so evidently it's here. And we do want to make sure you wash your hands. Be sure to take care of yourself because, again, as a business person, when I look at the cost of, okay, it takes, you know, money to go to the doctor, then it takes money off, 2-3 days for you to be off because you want to make sure you're going to be past whatever and be healthy. To me, it wasn't ever worth it. And I always got ticked off when I got a flu. And so we attacked things differently, and it's helped out for me since the late 90s. So I can't complain. Now, I hope that doesn't mean that next week I get something. So, you know how that is. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and look at this. This is from MSNBC. And it's from MarketWatch, and I like that news grouping. Great newsletter. And they were talking about how Kroger and Walmart focus on produce as the sales are soaring. And they feel it's because grocers are freshening up their produce sections to draw in more health-conscious shoppers. Now, I believe it's basically that people are aware of eating better, and so that's what they're doing. That's what I want to say. One moment, please. I don't know whether that's really true or not, but that's what I feel. And it says produce sales in the U.S. rose to $62 billion this year from $60.8 billion in 2018, according to some research from Nielsen. Now, that's a lot of money. That's just some produce, folks. And they say that this is a bright spot for them in the industry because they've got some heavy challenges ahead to try to stay open. They've got low-margin businesses, and they want to have more profits. And so this is a way that they can go in there and sell another product that they've always had and be able to make more money. And Kroger evidently is already reaching $1 billion in sales for organic produce. Again, I don't know a whole lot about the organic stuff. We don't eat that stuff. We've tried the bananas. And I kid you not, it seems like between the grocery store and getting it back home, maybe one day the banana's bad. Now, we have regular bananas, and they'll go bad in like 2-3 days. But we've also had regular bananas that went bad in a day. So I don't know if it's a magic thing they got on them or if it's temperature change or I don't know what it is. But maybe because it takes so long to get bananas there and then they have to sit there before they get them out. You know, I don't know what the key is there, but we get so frustrated. So I used to, when we got to bananas, we used to get X amount of bananas. And I know that if it got down to 3 or 4, I like using 4 because it gives a little bit more flavor. But when it got down to 3 bananas, then I can make banana bread. Well, we always freeze it. We don't eat it all at the same time that we make something. So it got to the point where we had banana breads all backed up because my mom, particularly, she likes to eat bananas. And whenever I eat one, then I've got to make sure I cut it in half and put peanut butter in it. Otherwise, I'm not eating it. So we've had a lot of banana bread over the years and had to give them away. But that's what we do with bananas because we're not having good luck with them. But that's just us. You know, maybe it's something we're doing. But anyway, so let's see here. I've got to change the thing again. Hold one second. Oh, when the computer works right, it works right. One second, y'all. I'm sorry. Sometimes this computer does its own thing. I got a new computer a year or two ago. Let's see here. Let's see what the other information is on the story. Very hard to find it. Okay, let's see. Okay, now let's see. Like the Stop and Shop, which operates 400 stores in New York, never heard of it. In New England and New Jersey, they said they would invest $70 million to remodel 21 stores and allow more space for produce. That's a lot of bucks, kids. I that's a lot of bucks. And they're finding that sometimes the produce is easily bruised in transit, you know, from the storage places getting to the retailers. And sometimes that leads to a higher loss rate for other products. I feel that's probably what the problem is with those darn bananas. But who? What do I know? I'm not in their industry. Then the number one reason why a consumer chooses to stop at a given retailer sometimes is because of the wide range of fruits and vegetables available. Isn't that interesting? And of course, the different price reductions at the chain store that happen with these products. And let's see here. Juice bars are even showing up. I haven't seen one ourselves within the Midwest, so I don't know. But they show up by themselves. They don't go to the grocery store. So hold a second here. Let's see here. Now, I've never heard of these people. Smart and Final Stores doubled their space for produce in the past 4 years. And it's a California-based company which has added packaged salads, prepared vegetables, new refrigerated cases, and about 140 organic produce items. Wow, 140 organic produce items. Man, maybe we should start looking at what's going on there. And the upside is that they have customers that still want to come back in again and again because they're seeing all this fresh food. Now, we have a Meijer's also in town, and they do an excellent job as far as displaying their produce. I mean, it's so yummy when you first walk in the door and you see that to the left. With all the different various kinds of fruits and vegetables. And I mean various. We live in a middle market town in the Midwest, and we didn't have all those kinds of different other varieties available to us. Not that I've eaten them. I'm a very bland person. But it's exciting to see all the different stuff they got there that you're aware of that's out there, or you see it in restaurants, or you see it in the cooking shows, or that kind of thing. So it's kind of interesting to see what the different, grocery stores like or want to present to you because everyone's different in how they're going to approach it. So that is awesome, very awesome. So congratulations to the grocery stores in that you're trying to do something that's going to be good for the customer. Hello, hello. And provide them something that they want to eat because they'll go elsewhere. Let's see here. Let me look down here. One second here. That's about it in that show, the information. Let's see. Walmart is evidently widening the aisles and installing bins to have its produce sections look like farmers markets. That's pretty neat. I think that's probably right. And the organic grocer called Sprouts Farmers Market Incorporated is carrying more specialty items, such as cotton candy grapes. That's interesting. I never heard of that one, but that's very interesting. And some stores are, of course, carrying, a wide variety of apples, which I love, because some of them work good for pies and some of them work good for your fruit cups or whatever. So they're still taking a risk at it, but they feel that the numbers and the interest in fresh merchandising and showing off these great foods, and of course showing the herbs that are there in the stores, they feel it's worth the money. Now I'm telling you, back again with that Stop and Shop, with they're spending $70 million to remodel 21 stores, make more space for produce. That's a lot of bucks, I'm telling y'all. I kid you not, that's a lot of money. So how about that? Interesting, huh? Yeah. Okay, now we're going to tell you that the USDA is collecting data for two special studies that are coming up, in case you get something like that in the mail. So keep that in mind. It's an organic survey, or the census of horticultural specialties. And so they would hope that maybe you get to fill it out for them. So here we go with this story.
Data collection is underway for two USDA special studies, the Organic Survey and the Census of Horticultural Specialties. Both studies build off of information that came out of the 2017 Census of Agriculture.
These special studies are super important because it gives us more detailed special information on these particular commodities or practices.
Daphne Schauber manages the 2019 Organic Survey, which will ask producers a host of questions
on their acreage, their crop and livestock production, their marketing practices, income and expenses.
And she adds, the resulting report will have many uses.
That's beneficial for researchers that are looking at, you know, doing specific research for organic production, looking at better crop insurance programs that provides crop insurance companies information that they need, policymakers, farm organizations use it.
Meanwhile, Lakia Jones urges producers to respond to the Census of Horticultural Specialties, which includes a wide range of ag products.
Primarily floriculture, nursery, specialty crops, different plants, trees. Like in the questionnaire, we have sections about Christmas trees and short rotation woody crops. We have that. We have aquatic plants, vegetable seeds, things of that nature.
Respondents to the horticultural census are targeted.
We're sending them out to producers who grew or sold $10,000 in horticultural specialty products during 2019. Sample size is about 40,000 people.
And what kinds of questions are on the survey?
We will be asking about the production of said horticultural crops. We'll be asking about sales, expenses, how they're using the operation for future use. And the biggest thing is that we are mostly concerned with, actually we're only concerned about 2019. So we're only concerned with the reference year.
For both surveys, producers have three ways to respond: online, by phone, or by using the postage paid envelope to mail the survey back to USDA. The preferred method is online.
The best thing about it is that you can save your responses. So if you start on the questionnaire and then you need to step away for a second, you can come back and complete your questionnaire. Or if you need to go reference your record to review something before completing the questionnaire, you can do that. You can start it, stop, and then come back to it with no problem.
The deadline for responses to the 2019 Organic Survey comes first on January 10, 2020. The deadline for responses to the 2019 Census of Horticultural Specialties is February 5th, 2020. This is Stephanie Ho for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Thanks, Stephanie. Now, when I go into a grocery store, I see these wonderful displays of zucchini noodles and squash noodles and all kinds of other stuff. And I don't have a spiralizer, is what I guess they're calling them, spiralizers. So this gal is going to tell us how to make zucchini noodles without a spiralizer. And you've got those materials at home, kiddos, so more than likely. So I think she gives us three different options of how you can do it. And now you can do this, have those zucchini noodle kind of things at home and the other vegetable ones, like the carrots and whatever. So here we go.
Zucchini noodles are an awesome alternative to pasta. But what do you do if you don't have a fancy spiralizer on hand? Don't worry. I'm going to show you three alternative methods. First up, a good old-fashioned vegetable peeler. I'm going to start by peeling the zucchini into long ribbons. And the more pressure you apply with the vegetable peeler, the thicker your zucchini noodles will be. I'm going to stack the ribbons on top of each other. And then all that's left to do is cut our ribbons into noodles. And then they're all set to use in your favorite recipe. option number two, a box grater works wonders to make zucchini noodles. You just want to make sure that you're using the largest sized hole, and you're going to start by slicing off the ends of the zucchini. And then carefully grate the zucchini down the box grater. And that's all there is to it, zucchini noodles in just seconds. And last but not least, a mandolin is your best bet for getting consistently sized zucchini noodles. It's important that you set the mandolin to an eighth of an inch thick and that you have the julienne blade facing up so you get really thin noodles. Start by cutting off the ends of the zucchini. And then you're going to carefully run the zucchini down the mandolin. Perfect zucchini noodles every time. There you have it, zucchini noodles, three ways, no spiralizer needed.
And that's wonderful. What she did on those zucchini, when she did the blades, she'd take a knife and then she'd go ahead and cut them in little slivers all the way through, all the way down, you know, from the top to the bottom. So that's how she got it to be blades of noodles. So that's a way of doing it. And then when she used the grater, then she used it with a long way down, and that's how you grate it down so you get the longer pieces. Otherwise, when you grate it, if you did with just the smaller area, then you just get small pieces. So use it from the top part of the zucchini and the larger part and go down. So, yeah, you know, tricks of the trade. But I think that's great. So if you don't want to buy a spiralizer, do that. Do it that way. So, okay, let's see here. Then we've got, We've got some information about the avoiding the farm crisis of the 80s, but I think that one's too long, so we're not going to go that way. We're going to go ahead and let's talk about the Old Farmer's Almanac, okay, for a brief minute here. That's what it will be because we've got about three or four more minutes. So the Almanac, the Old Farmer's Almanac Gardening Club they've got. And you can look at it online to the Almanac, the Farmer's Almanac, the Old Farmer's Almanac Gardening Club. They have a charter membership. They're evidently starting it. And you get a value of, like, instead of $54.84, it's supposed to be $24.97. And they renew it each year, I think it's in August, on your credit card for you if you want it. And you get the Old Farmer's Almanac Garden Guide. You get, which I think is a nice little kind of like a magazine kind of thing. It has all kinds of tips and ideas. And then you get two different, you get the, for this year, you get the 2020 Gardening Wall Calendar and the 2020 Old Farmer's Almanac Classic Edition. And then I believe you get another year, too, for free, I think. And then, yeah, an Almanac Extra, one monthly digital magazine. You get another digital library from the magazine that's 40-plus issues. Then you get the two free Old Farmer's Almanacs. So I'm not sure what dates those are. It must be on one picture. It looks like it's all the same. So I'm not sure if you get two or three of those. But let's see if it says anything. I can't tell you that for sure. So, but anyway, it's a magazine kind of thing that's called the Farmer's Almanac Garden Guide. I like it. It's very colorful. It has some ideas in there. It shows you different, you know, kind of vegetables and fruits that are there. And then it has the 2020 Gardening Wall Calendar. It's a full-color illustrations of fruits, flowers, herbs, and more. And then it has a helper to show you how to plant a fabulous flower garden and gives you some advice and that kind of thing. And they're really big in this chart of planting by the moon. Now, I know some people just only use that idea. I'm familiar with that, and it's usually older folks. But we've heard a lot of that, we can't do it until it's, you know, up to the moon. Okay. And then they've got the Old Farmer's Almanac, actually the vice planner. And then they've got an extra thing that they use is for interaction on the internet. and gives you advice and help lift you up as far as confidence and whatever, and has some expert cultivation tips. So this is a new gardening thing that they've got out there, and I want to go ahead and make sure that I keep in contact with them. I'd love to interview them and see if we can do something about having community gardens in there somehow. And maybe the American Community Garden Association can kind of step in there and kind of show some ideas or whatever is what I'm thinking. Who knows? They may say, forget that. But it's the Old Farmers Almanac Gardening Club. I think it's a wonderful idea. It's they say it's for folks with a green thumb. Whether you have a green thumb or not, I'd check it out and see it, because anything that can help you or give you an edge, that's what we're for. Now, we like to make sure our soil or our dirt is good, so sometimes we'll have to scrape off the top part of it and then replenish it with some dirt. I believe I've told you this before in the past. It works out well for us because some of that dirt can get bad. That's why farmers do rotation of their dirt and how they can create a new way of getting a lot more product, you know, to grow. So there's all kinds of tricks and trades out there. You just got to find out where's the information and how you can learn something. I always like to have a lot of different newsletters and different articles to read from, because you can always get a nugget here and there. Not everybody's got all the true whatever. So that's just an option for you to look up the Old Farmer's Almanac and check them out and check out this new gardening club. So, yay! Things are changing. People are going to eat better. We hope. So keep with it. And go to your grocery stores and realize that they do listen to you and they are trying to make adjustments. So more fruits and vegetables out there. Yay! All right. Well, you've been listening to Community Garden Revolution. My name is Mary Huckel, and I'm so glad you joined us today. Have a great Community Garden Day.